Thank you, Don, for that nice introduction. It's always, always good to see you guys and be here in your fellowship. My family is here, at least all but one. Our eldest granddaughter is in a school play performance this afternoon, so she had to be there and be ready for that at 2 o'clock. But if I can, I'd like to introduce my family. They are in the next to the last row on that side over there, your left, my right. And we'll start off with my son-in-law, Dan Serenides, and then my daughter, Heidi, and that's our beautiful granddaughter, Hope, and then that's our also beautiful wife of our son, Dave, and that's Jen Morrow. He's beautiful too, I think. But it's a delight to have them here. They made the trip down. I forgot my lovely wife. Maybe that's why we shouldn't have had the other mic. I don't know. My wife, Jess. So good to have each of you here. I'm going to take you back to high school. For some of you, it's a few years. Some like me, it must be 200 or 300 years ago. It's Monday morning, kind of sleepy, did your homework late Sunday night, and there you are in class, and you're startled by these words: please close your books and clear your desks. Today we will have a surprise test covering last week's work. If you weren't awake when you came into that class that day, you're awake now. Pop quiz, they're called, surprise tests. Now, school is a wonderful thing if we could eliminate the tests, it seems, because they are the crisis points in your life. Some of them are surprises. I don't like using the word surprise, but nonetheless, that's what it is. Others are planned, and so you study for them. Test. Why are tests such a stress for us in life? We're going to look at a very special test this morning that appears in Scripture. It concerns Abraham, and it's in Genesis 22. It involves Abraham and his son Isaac. And if you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis 22. We'll read those 19 verses that tell this incredible story about a test. I'm reading from the NIV. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he gave, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. "But where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. One study Bible says, without question, this narrative is one of the most shocking and memorable in the whole Bible. And yet its outcome, it is one of the finest texts describing the loyalty of the Lord to his covenant and his servant Abraham. It also reveals remarkable faith on the part of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and points to the future sacrifice of God's only son, Jesus. So Abraham, we reverence his name, we remember his name, but he was an ordinary man. He found and communed with the Lord while he lived in Ur of the Chaldees. The Lord led him to Haran at first and then to a land God promised to show him. He remained in Canaan, which is Palestine, for the rest of his life. He worshiped the Lord regularly. He was given a great military victory, and he failed the Lord on several occasions. God promised him an heir, future generations, and most importantly, that he would be the father of all those who would put their faith in the Lord. His story involves the promised heir and how God tested Abraham. Everything seemed to be going great for Abraham. Yes, he'd failed the Lord, but God blessed in great, great ways. The scripture in verse 1 begins sometime later. So what happened before? Just before God's testing of Abraham, the Lord fulfilled his promise, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac, the long-promised son. Elderly parents, but God promised, and the child was born. In addition to that, one of the enemies who lived in what would become Philistine territory had some arguments over wells and possessions. And Abraham signed a peace treaty with Abimelech. Interesting. After all the other exercise, an old commentator, Matthew Henry, wrote, all the exercises he had had, all the hardships and difficulties he had gone through, now perhaps was the beginning to think the storms had all blown over. But after all, this encounter comes, which is sharper than any he had. Life was coming up roses, but then it wasn't. Then the test came. God tested Abraham. The Hebrew word nissa is translated as tested. It means to prove the quality of. Nissa, tested, to prove the quality of. It is not to entice someone to do wrong. It is God working with individuals, his people, to prove their quality. Why does God test people? Why do the teachers out there test? Why do we have to take tests? He tests us to show how we are doing spiritually. He tests us to show how we're doing spiritually. Chuck Swindoll writes, he doesn't put people to a test to see how well their faith responds under fire. He prepares tests of faith to show us what he has made of us lately. Whether we pass or fail, we learn about ourselves. We learn where we need improvement, or we discover how spiritually mature we have become. Why does God test us? To show us how we're doing spiritually, to show our character, to allow us, with His help and His grace, to fix what's wrong. When does the Lord test us? Good question. Job gives us the answer. He says in Job 7, 17 and 18, get this. What is man that you make so much of him, that you give him so much attention? Get this. That you examine him every morning and test him every moment. Wow. Examine him every morning and test him every moment. He tests us regularly. Well, can I be exempt from that? I mean, can I just be okay with not being tested? Unfortunately, no. Why did the Lord test Abraham? God tested Abraham in order to give Abraham an opportunity to show his true character. Christian, God tests us regularly. You may be in the middle of a test. A loved one may be ill. Your job is just not working out. Or worse, you lost your job and you can't find another one. You have marriage difficulties. You have health problems. You name it. It can be a test that God has graciously provided for you. Again, to show your character, show how your maturity is going, and to identify areas where you need to make some changes. Look down to verse 2. Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Now remember, God gave him this son when they were both elderly, Abraham and Sarah. A wonderful victory. Take your son, your only son. Yeah, Lord, I got it. I understand. The Lord mentioned Isaac, your son, your only son, whom you love, reminding him of the affection that Abraham had for his own child. And by the way, the phrase only son in this chapter on Abraham's test is mentioned three times. Verse 2, 12, and 16. Sometimes a test involves something, someone that's very precious to us. God knows it, although at times when the test happens, we don't believe it. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. How would you like to hear that from God Himself? Sacrifice him on a mountain I will tell you of. I will show you. Commentator Matthew Henry comments, he must not only kill his son, but kill him as a sacrifice, kill him devoutly, kill him by rule, kill him with all that pomp and ceremony, with all the sedateness and composure of mind with which he used to offer his burnt offerings. All that you've done with burnt offerings, with animals, I want you to sacrifice your son in the same way. For us as Christians, when we're shocked by what the Lord does in our lives, we should understand that indeed God tests may be unexpected and they may be shocking. He's in control. It's meant to show our character. It's meant to show where we are spiritually. It's meant to give us the victory. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. One commentator writes, he rises early. Probably the command was given in the visions of the night, and early the next morning, he set himself about the execution of it. Did not delay, did not demur, did not take time to deliberate, for the command was peremptory and would not admit a debate. Do you debate with God when he asks you to do something? If it's unpleasant, yeah. I'm not proud of it. And I'm wrong when I do it. I forget who I am and who he is. Verse 3 also has, when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. How could Abraham get the whole picture out of his mind? He's cutting this wood for a sacrifice of his own son. Christian, we must willingly take the test. These are not fun things. These tests are tests. You got to answer everything. So they walk. 3 days. 3 days to think about it. 3 days to think of what God is doing. But Abraham just does it. It's phenomenal. We might have argued with him constantly over the 3 days. Lord, another morning, we're getting close. Can you just change it? Can you exempt me from doing this? It's my son, my only son, Isaac. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. Verse 4. Abraham looked up and saw the place where it was going to happen. Christian, we must stay focused during the test. But I don't like it. I don't want it. It can only work out badly. Not true. The Lord is doing it. He's the test giver. We must stay focused as the test date comes nearer. You're going to lose your job on such and such a date. We'll outprocess you. Verse 5. Abraham speaking, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Some people have said that that means he was just lying to the servants. I don't think so. He told them to stay with the donkey. He and his son were on their way to worship the Lord. We will come back. Now get this. The New King James Study Bible says, in the Hebrew text, these words are even more arresting than in a translation. The three verbs all show a strong determination on the part of the speaker. Get this. We are determined to go. We are determined to worship. We are determined to return. How did Abraham have that kind of faith? Because he knew the God who was giving the test. He knew the Lord. There were two servants with Abraham. They were the ones who were to wait. Henry Blackaby writes, all the emotions that can be mustered begin to surge through our minds and hearts as we identify more and more with Abraham, his son Isaac, and his servants. But get this. But our attention must still be on God through it all. The eternal purpose of God was at stake and was unfolding step by step. The entire process is full of the activity of God. You know that? Christian, do you know that the test you're going through or will is filled with the activity of God? It will work out purposes for you and others. But for Abraham and for you as a Christian, sometimes you have to face the test alone. The Lord is there, but you may feel very lonely with the people around you gone. There's some walking to do. It's uphill to a mountain. Abraham and his son Isaac go. Verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. carrying the wood for the sacrifice that he knew he would have to do on his son. He carried probably a flint of some sort, the fire, and the knife that he was going to use to end his son's life. He obliged Isaac, one commentator writes, to carry the wood, both to try his obedience in a smaller matter first, and what he might typify Christ who carried his own cross, while he himself, though he knew what he did, with a steady and undaunted resolution, carried the fatal knife and the fire. How could he do this? It was the son he had waited an eternity for. He knew it was the activity of God. He didn't argue from the beginning, and he's not arguing now. It must have wrenched his soul. When we go through these tests as Christians, our family is affected. A loved one who needs us, it pulls at all of us in the family. But it's part of the plan of God. See, God works in our lives to bring us ever closer to him, to teach us more about himself. We go along and we pass a test and we fail another test. We keep on going, but God has a plan. He's getting us through school. Verses 7 and 8. Isaac asked his father where the lamb was for the sacrifice. Good question. Abraham told his son, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham was not just gutsy or torn up. He knew that God was involved in this. He didn't know how. Losing my job some years back, and then finding my situation not correcting itself, and the months were going by, and the severance pay was wearing out, running out. Why, God? I can't understand what you're doing. For Abraham, as he saw this, and the event, the test date, was drawing closer, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God himself. Another way of translating provide for you is God will see to it. Like a very strong servant. He'll see to it. He'll get it done. He's a good person. For the Christian, successful testing counts on God's provision. God's provision. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know God's going to work it out. God will provide. Verses 9 and 10. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham had to build the altar, arrange the wood, bind his son, place him on the altar, and then take the knife to slit his throat like he would an animal going through a sacrifice. New King James Study Bible says, at this point, Isaac knew that he was the sacrificial victim. Isaac knew. Surely he could have run away from his aged father, yet, like the Savior on an ever darker day, he was willing to do his father's will. Do you realize Isaac was a hero here too? Do you realize that this test was teaching Isaac how to live his life? How to let God see to it? Matthew Henry gets into the feelings that he supposes were in Abraham's mind. The great sacrifice which in the fullness of time was to be offered up must be bound, and therefore so must Isaac. But with what heart could tender Abraham tie those guiltless hands, which perhaps had often been lifted up to ask his blessing and stretched out to embrace him, and were now the more straitly bound with the cords of love and duty? However, it must be done. Having bound him, he lays him upon the altar and his hand upon the head of his sacrifice. And now, we may suppose, with a flood of tears, he gives and takes the final farewell of a parting kiss. Perhaps he takes another for Sarah from her dying son. This being done, he resolutely forgets the bowels of a father and puts on the awful gravity of a sacrificer. With a fixed heart and an eye lifted up to heaven, he takes the knife and stretches out his hand to give a final cut to Isaac's throat. Dramatic? Yeah. What you might be going through as a believer, the test you're going through, it's heartrending. It makes no sense. But Abraham brought God into it, and at the appropriate time, he showed his obedience, but God spoke up. We must follow God's instructions to pass the test. Abraham resolutely did what he had to do. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called out to him. Angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven. He called out Abraham's name twice. Abraham, Abraham. Here I am. The angel of the Lord is, in fact, the Lord himself, as mentioned later in the scripture. Moses experienced the same angel of the Lord, and it was the Lord identified as God himself. God stopped Abraham at the last minute. You ever notice that about the trials and tests you go through? It'll never end. It is horrible. It makes no sense. You try to fight it. Finally, you give in to the Lord. You do what he wants you to do. And just as quickly as the test began, the test is over. Once again, one commentator writes, God had intervened, and this time there was no disputing that it was a triumph of divine timing. I like that. Not a minute too soon, God had acted. But not a minute too late either. Abraham had to be taken to that point to see what was in his heart, not only for God to see, but also for Abraham to see for himself. Not to mention what Isaac saw from his uncomfortable position on the altar as potential sacrifice. When we go through these tests, or will, regularly, we're going to learn some things. We're going to learn more about the Lord, but we're going to learn how much we love the Lord, because that's what Abraham learned. He loved him more than that special son that he waited so long for he was willing to take his life. The angel said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." You can hear the heart of God in that phrase. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Hear the heart of God as he calls Abraham not to hurt his son. Do not do anything to him, he adds. Abraham's good character was displayed at that point when the test was over. And it will for you, Christian. You'll learn something. Your good character will be displayed. Maybe in what you go through, it'll be a witness to those around you who don't know anything about the God you're talking about Jesus and his sacrifice. Light years away from their understanding, but they can see your love for him through the tests you take. And this is interesting, verse 13. There in a thicket, Abraham saw a ram caught by its horns. Ram is pretty large. Ram would make a lot of noise if it got caught. But Abraham didn't hear it. I find that very interesting. Abraham so engrossed in the sight of his son on the altar and his raising of the knife to kill him that he didn't hear the ram baaing and thrashing about in the thicket. But the test was coming to an end. The Lord brings his solution, Christian, to our attention just as the test is finished. His solution. And in this case, the son's life was not taken. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." God's rescue of Isaac happened in the place of the Lord's choosing. And for you as a Christian, when you go through a test and it finally comes to an end, as the scripture said, after that you have suffered a while, as it says in the King James, then comes the victory, the completion of the test. And that experience and that place becomes very special to you. Because there, by your own actions, you revealed what was going on in you spiritually. Verses 15 to 18. God speaking, "Because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." The Lord again calls Abraham, but this time not twice to stop him from cutting his son's throat. The Lord calls Abraham to give him a reward, a promise, to bless him and give him numerous descendants who will possess their enemy's cities, as well as the means of blessing all nations, because Abraham obeyed God and passed the test. Rewards for successfully passing the test. Maybe it's that A on that paper. Maybe it's the 100 on that math exam. Maybe it's a great report card to take home. Passing the test in your spiritual life brings you great rewards. You learn more about the Lord. You see that he's been working with you. You're going through school with him. And you love him all the more. Then Abraham returned to his servants, verse 19, and they set off together back home to Beersheba. Abraham went back to his waiting servants to head back home. My imagination runs away here. I think of that conversation for the 3 days back. It must have been a time of joy and relief for Abraham and a time of sharing for the two servants. Family and friends are blessed when you pass the test, Christian. They're blessed. Well, it just happened to me. But you as a Christian are a means of blessing for those in your family, those friends who are close by. So let's just think about a challenge. We usually end our talks in our home church as a challenge many times. And the first has to do with Christians, those who've accepted Christ as their Savior, who name the name of Jesus and believe that he died for them. First, there are two. Remember that tests, like all our Lord does for us, are intended for our good. Listen to James 1, 2-4. In light of what we said about tests, not understanding God, not being comfortable, but doing it anyway, James writes, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The first thing it tells you is, be glad for the test. Now, those of you, well, they're in the next room, who may be facing tests, or maybe some of you adults in courses that you're taking, when you hear the test, you may not think, I'll count it as all joy. But as a Christian, we can. The faith develops perseverance. You see, the Lord doesn't just step into time, show you himself. You find him, you believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you accept him, and that's it. And then somewhere along the line, you check online, and your ticket is there to take you to heaven. That's not it. God is working with you. There's work for you to do now, and there's work for you to do in the new heaven and the new earth. It's a continuing process. School with the Lord. So first, remember that tests like our Lord provides us are intended for our good. Second, Christian, follow Abraham's example and totally trust the Lord while you are being tempted and tested, rather. While you are being tested. F.B. Meyer, who wrote a classic biography of Abraham many years ago, writes, "Oh, for faith like this. Simply to believe what God says, assured that God will do just what he has promised. Listen to this. Looking without alarm from circumstances that threaten to make the fulfillment impossible, to the bare word of God's unanswerable truthfulness." No alarm. No fear. Follow Abraham's example and totally trust the Lord while you're being tested. Now, God has given us his Spirit to be within us. We cannot do these things alone. Everything that we want to do for the Lord or in obedience to the Lord or bearing up under a test is provided by God's grace through the Spirit within us. King James, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." So, believer, accept the tests as something good. Follow Abraham's example and totally trust the Lord while it's going on. One other thought as part of this challenge, and that is for the person who hasn't put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and may be here today. Testing, Bible, Christ. I mean, I hear a lot around here about that, but I'm confused. You see, logic tells you if you don't know the Lord that you can get in yourself. You can please God yourself. He'll accept you if you just work hard enough. It's been called the religion of human accomplishment. Sounds good. I work hard enough. I deny myself hard enough. I do things, say things, I'll make it. But that's not the way to get to the Lord. The Bible says no amount of effort gives us acceptance with God. None. Well, I'm pretty good. I help little old ladies across the street. I pet the dog next door. No amount of effort can give us acceptance with God. That's it. But that's the blessing. That's the cool part. Because what you find is you can't do it yourself. But God did it for you. And you get a free pass because Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin. The good news is that Jesus Christ did the work for you. That's what's so different. We receive this free gift and become the children of God because of what He did, not what you will do or have done. So if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, this stuff is so important. You go out into eternity so quickly, and it's over. Game over. You can't do anything. You can't change it. You can't say, you know what, now that I'm dying, I'll fix it, because you're gone. But what a great privilege to know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and you can receive it as a free gift, a love gift to you, and never have to worry again. Look at your Bible. It's there. I invite you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You bow your head. You ask Him into your heart and life. Some of you may have watched the Billy Graham funeral on TV, and that was what was preeminent, the gospel. The free gift of God. Receive it. Accept it. Someone comes and gives you a very expensive gift, and you say, no, never mind. I'd rather start working and saving money. Eventually, I'll buy something. The something won't work and won't be as good as the gift that is being offered to you. So the challenge is twofold. One for the believer. In the vernacular, tests ain't easy. But God will give you the grace, and we'll get you through it if you obediently trust God and see it's part of His training program for you. And second of all, if you've never trusted Christ, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Speak to one of the elders here. Get it settled. Let's close our time in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how much we owe You. You've done so much for us, those of us who know You as Savior. Your mercies are new every morning. You may examine us all the time, but Your mercies are new every morning. And we're grateful for that. And Lord, we hesitate. We shy away from tests. And this was a big one for Abraham. And there'll be little ones and big ones for us. Oh, Father, may we learn. May we show our character. May we honor You with how we handle these tests. For we know You love us, and You're carefully dealing with us with these tests. Father, thank You for the time we've had together. If there are any are here who've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, that they might do it today. Just ask You into their heart and life, repent of their sins, and believe that Jesus Christ died to pay for every sin they ever have or will commit. Dismiss us with Your blessing. Continue to bless this beautiful assembly. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.